We're already 10 minutes in, so. Okay, so we're going to call this meeting to order and the subcommittee to order. And we obviously are missing three members, but we'll hear from Senator Lara with regards to SEA 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. After much discussion with our chairman here today, we've, I think, reached an agreement to continue to work on SEA 1 to give voters the opportunity to increase oversight at the UC by providing that regents serve 10 years, a 10-year term, and that a regent may serve no more than two terms on the Board of Regents. Current regents are who are serving in their first term would be eligible to be reappointed to an additional 10-year term. Again, this is an agreement that continues to be a work in progress, and I'm taking the amendments as author amendments to allow us to continue the discussion. Regents who are serving their second term or more term would not be eligible for reappointment upon conclusion of their current terms. Currently, regents are appointed to serve 12-year terms with no limit on how many terms they can serve. The reduction in the 10-year term allows for our future 12-year senators, which we see will eventually become the majority in our Senate, to be able to reassess and reevaluate our regents during their term, as opposed to what it is now, where we don't get an opportunity as a Senate to reevaluate their service. So as we know, some, if allowed to serve their full terms, will have served over 20 years currently. Voters first granted the UC constitutional autonomy in 1879. Since then, there have been very significant changes in California society and economy. Back then, women couldn't vote. Segregation was still legal. California's population was less than 1 million people. There was no master plan for higher education, and we only had one UC campus. Today, we have a very diverse group of Californians and UC applicants. Yet our students, faculty, and leadership at the highest levels of the UC still continue to not reflect that diversity, and it's demonstrated through their current policies. It is important that our leaders reflect the geographic, economic, and gender diversity of our state. The UC Board of Regents has become, in a sense, a private club that is not inclusive of ethnic, gender, or socioeconomic diversity of our state. Term limits have enabled that our legislature to become a more diverse body, and I would not be here if it weren't for term limits. Why shouldn't the regents' terms also be reformed? Out of the 18 regents appointed to the board, only 7 are people of color and 5 are women. The past several months have revealed many troubling instances, highlighting the lack of transparency, accountability, and leadership of the regents and throughout the system. SEA 1 will give the voters the opportunity to increase accountability and diversity with the University of California by limiting the terms to the regents to a single 12-year term. UC will still maintain its same academic independence and that it has enjoyed since its inception. A 12-year term will allow the UC regents to continue to build their expertise while allowing the makeup of the board to become a more diverse body. If the UC is going to retain its reputation and continue, if the UC is going to retain its reputation and continue to lead globally, we need to work collaboratively with the UC to better serve its students, professors, and employees. Finally, this will give the UC the oversight, transparency it needs to be accountable to Californians. It is paramount that the University of California continue to strive to become the university for California. I respectfully ask your vote.
Okay, let's establish a quorum. Secretary.
Allen.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Hancock. Hertzberg.
Here.
Liu.
Here.
Okay.
Okay, we have a quorum. Are there speakers in support? Are there questions for the author? Or because we're going to have people speak in support and also opposition, but if there's a question for the author.
Well, I can wait until.
What do you prefer?
Both sides. I'll wait to both sides, but I do have several questions for the author.
Okay. Did you want to wait?
Yes, because the witnesses may answer the questions.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
My name is Kevin Sabo, and I'm serving as this year's UCSA president. I'm a fourth year at UC Berkeley studying peace and conflict studies. It's finals week for us, by the way. I want to start by thanking the author, Senator Lara, for his continued leadership on this issue and dedication to students and the UC. This is an important subject for students and one which we've debated for years now. Senator Lara always works to engage the most important constituencies in this matter, which are the students and the people of California. This has been a rough few weeks for the administration and the students of the university. I want to talk a bit about a few specific instances that I know that you're very well aware of, and the root causes that students believe create the environment which allows UC abuses of power to continue to occur. First, UC Davis Chancellor Linda Katehi. After a lot of digging and finding of additional poor decisions, she's been placed on administrative leave by President Napolitano. But I want to go back to the initial incident that triggered these revelations, her acceptance of a position and compensation for a board of directors for a for-profit and predatory university, and her involvement with a textbook corporation. UC students have called for Katehi's resignation, but this is reactive. We need to address the root of these problems, which are that the individuals tasked with oversight and accountability of public officials saw no problem with this behavior. Second, under newly released information, UC Regent William de la Peña was found to have violated ethic rules by trying to strike a financially beneficial deal between a campus and his own health clinics, an aspect of the UC system the board has oversight of. Why is Mr. De La Peña still a UC regent? Presumably because his peers did not find fault with this behavior, so much in fact that the entire issue was never even made public until years later. Third, something close to many of her constituents, sexual violence is festering on our campuses. Vice chancellors, deans, professors, and athletic coaches across the system are not taking accusations of sexual violence seriously and are instead ignoring them and sweeping them under the rug. As leaders of this university, they set the tone and severity for how these issues will be addressed. But based on the evidence, I see nothing but failure and a lack of leadership in resolving these matters. I want to briefly discuss some of the issues around this legislation. UC will argue that regents need time to understand the vast policy and operational landscape. UCSA contends, however, that the governor is free and encouraged by students to appoint individuals with experience in the UC or higher education through their professional work. If appointees already have a background in higher education, they don't need to start from square one. Additionally, this week, the regents are considering a proposal to amend their bylaws to institute term limits on their own committee chairs. Is this not antithetical to their claim? At a confirmation hearing in 2015, three regents being reappointed could only highlight very few projects or accomplishments even after 12 years. This argument just does not hold water with us. Lastly, the UC claims that longer terms, which are staggered over time, ensure greater blending of board members whose appointments have been put forward by different governors and confirmed by different sets of legislators. If you ask me, this is inappropriate. The people of the state of California elect a governor and members of the legislature. The governor is trusted to make appointments that reflect the values of those individuals who elected them. It's not politics, it's democracy. This is a public university and it must be held accountable to the people that it serves today. Mr. Chair, as a former student regent yourself, I know that you love this university as much as we do in UCSA, and I do personally as a UC student, but we have to change the governance of the system if it is to remain the world-class institution that it is today. This board needs more oversight, more diversity, more engagement of students, and more accountability to the people of California. We will continue to work with the author on amendments to this legislation because we have to get this right. But let me be clear, a vote against SCA 1 is a direct vote against UC students. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other folks who are witnesses in support? Okay, anyone here to speak about concerns about the legislation? Thanks. You can come sit in these two chairs here.
We'll squeeze in.
All right, who wants to go first?
Chair Ellen and members, Steve Juarez with the University of California. As I'm a bit confused because I assume we're talking about the two tenure terms that we've heard about.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to see the language, so obviously we wouldn't be prepared necessarily to take a position. Thank you. To take a position on the fly. I came prepared to talk about the 12-year term and the one 12-year term and what issues that we would see with that. We were prepared to remove our opposition but remain concerned about the bill, primarily because it would, I think, take the right from you and from the governor to basically reappoint regents who have made significant contributions to the state. But it still boils down, and even without having seen these in totality, as to the question why. What are we trying to accomplish here? And we'd ask the committee to just consider that as they go forward. And then the last thing I'll say is To the extent that any further changes of significant value were added to this measure down the road, especially in the Assembly, we would hope that the committee would consider drawing the bill back for further consideration at that time.
Members of the committee, Chairman Allen, it's a pleasure to be with you. My name is Monica Lozano, and I'm currently the chair of the board of the University of California Regents. It's a pleasure to be with you today. But I also want to join in sharing my personal thoughts, not just about the board, but about the goals of this piece of legislation, as well as for the university in the coming years. The implications of SEA 1, and I have to acknowledge I have not seen this current language, so it's hard for me to talk to the most recent amendment that was just entered. My understanding is that there is a perception that SCA 1 is necessary to achieve something that is otherwise unachievable under the current process whereby the governor appoints and the Senate confirms regents. I acknowledge what is the intent of this legislation, but I think there are better ways to increase engagement between the board and state policymakers, and I have recently offered a series of ideas to leaders from both houses. I'd like to make two points today. First, the Board of Regents shares the state's priorities for the University of California. And I want to acknowledge, in fact, the presence of the vice chair of the Board of Regents, Bonnie Reese, who's with us, as well as the chair of our Committee of Finance, George Kiefer, who's also with us. To a member, we agreed to serve because we believe in the power of the University of California to impact the state in many positive ways, from the ability to change the lives of a new generation of Californians, one student at a time, to providing cutting-edge research to solve issues like the impacts on climate change, and to serving California's patients through our world-class medical centers. The UC touches the state in many different ways, and the Board of Regents shares your interest in ensuring that UC does this in the most efficient way possible. And we share your priorities and the priorities of the legislature to expand access to more Californians, including affordability and growing the diversity of the student body and the faculty. Our track record shows that 42% of all students at UC are among the first in their families to earn a college degree. 40% of students come from low-income households. 30% of students are community college transfers. And 55% of UC undergraduates have their tuition and fees covered by financial aid. And I would say that our board does reflect in many ways the diversity of the state. Geography, a set of experiences, talent, and in fact, we are the most diverse governing board of any public research university in America. The track record here is so strong that the New York Times declared the University of California to be California's upward mobility machine. And to be sure, this is a track record to build upon, not to run from. But I acknowledge that we need to do more, and we are committed to doing more. So it takes me to the second point. I personally have committed myself as chair of this board to improving communications and dialogue with the Senate and the Board of Regents and to increase transparency and accountability related to our decisions. And I wholeheartedly agree that increased engagement would be beneficial. In fact, I've already visited with many members of the legislature in their district offices and in Sacramento to establish this dialogue. And I intend to continue with direct engagement. In fact, I'm meeting with Pro Tem De Leon and Senator Lara next week to begin discussions about a more proactive, institutionalized approach to engaging as we move forward. We see ourselves as partners with common interests in advancing the university for the benefit of Californians and beyond. And our state constitution has been an integral part of that growth and development of the University of California. So while I want to commend Senator Lara deeply for amending the original SCA 1 to address the many concerns from earlier versions, having no time to see this most recent version, it's very difficult for us to state any position at this moment. However, I'd be happy to answer any questions if I'm able to, but I do want to acknowledge how far we've gone from the original, and if one of the intents is to increase dialogue and communication, it is not our belief that a constitutional amendment is required for that. There are other mechanisms and other pathways to do that, and my intent as chair of this board is to ensure that we engage in those. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for coming. Are there other speakers in opposition or folks who want to raise concerns about the SEA? Okay, why don't you stay here, and I know we have some questions from the Vice Chair and other members of the committee. Mr. Vice Chair.
I appreciated your remarks. I thought that they were quite to the point. I think that when I'm thinking about communications and communicating with me, the best thing that I could hear, I can't really hear, I can see, and that's your actions. I don't need to be touched every month or every year. What I need to do is I need to see the board taking the correct action when issues occur. And I think that one of the reasons why I'm in favor of this proposal is because I believe that some of the actions have been a bit tone deaf. What has been allowed to happen at UC Davis, what's happened with Regent De La Pena, alarms me. And then when we start looking at the audit and how many students from out of state are here, when those institutions were primarily built with our tax dollars, it's very hard for me to look at my constituents and say, we're doing a good job. And we're fielding a lot of those questions coming into my district office. So if you're thinking in terms of taking strong action on these issues to demonstrate that this is not spun out of control and require more oversight, then I agree with you 100%. And if you're saying that that's your goal and you're going to demonstrate it, I don't see why we would ever have a problem in the future. But if you think that speaking to me more frequently, it's not going to change the outcome of my phone ringing off the hook in my district when kids with 4.0s are being denied entrance to our UC system, and I'm reading in the paper about the misuse and inappropriate actions both by presidents and regents. So from that standpoint, I just think that it's important to understand actions speak louder than words. And Senator, I didn't know if you had taken consideration, because I think the issue isn't how long the terms are. I think the issue sometimes is how often they come up before the legislature. I'm going to be supporting this bill today. I like it. I enjoy being a co-author of it. But if moving along, I'd be open to the idea of having everybody have a six-year term, just like U.S. senators. That's a long time to be very independent, because I think your independence is very important. But at the same time, it balances those who believe it's okay to violate ethics rules, who choose not to make any action when folks cross the ethics line. And I think that that would give us a chance to do a slight correction, to give a notion to the regents of what we find acceptable and unacceptable. I wouldn't be as concerned about having a permanent limit to the number of terms, because there'd always be the option of them being independent, but every 6 years rolling back, and so we could go back and evaluate and concur and agree that they're on the right path and right direction. And listen, I've gone to a lot of states. I'm very involved in other states as we try to compare best practices. And I don't think that there is a finer institution. I think that the UC system is incredible. I think the biotech is here. I think that we attract a lot of industry here because of the great work that's been accomplished. So I am no way opposed to the UC system. But I think that currently many of those folks who serve in the UC system have failed us, and we need a course correction.
Senator Hertzberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Law, thank you. Thanks for working with the chair and putting some time in this. I know there's been a series of meetings, and you've put some elbow grease into this, and I appreciate that. There's a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share with you. You know, this is a proposal to amend the Constitution of the state of California. And any time you amend the Constitution, it must be done with great seriousness of purpose and how we approach that. I think that the notion of terms, Senator Anderson, the idea of 6 years, the underlying management framework, constitutional framework of the regents is to be able to transcend the governors who serve for 8 years. And so the notion is to actually transcend politics, and I actually have been fortunate enough to actually serve on the Board of Regents, and I served there at a time as the president of the Board of Regents, sitting next to you, knows when we were transitioning between one administration and another of different parties, and we were faced with extraordinary challenges. The 540 deal that Senator Feuerbach did, that I believe you were aware of, you were around in those days, a younger man, and we had to work on those transitions, and we worked on, was it SSA1, and worked on those transitions, and what I found, I just want to share with you from a percipient observation, was that it was the lack of politics, the ability to find people of the other party, if you remember those votes, to actually look at the institution rather than look at the partisanship, and that the terms were extremely valuable. The second thing I wanted to share is that I also was fortunate enough, or as the case may be, in 2006, I believe the year was, to co-chair with then Regent Cosburg and then the regent of the board, Monica Lozano, was part of our committee that dealt with significant challenges that we faced with respect to the management, where President Dines at the time was engaged. This is before you went on the board, I think. You just were coming on when the report was being adopted. And so the questions we had to address the management structure there, where we had similar types of issues with chancellors around the system, and I thought that the board dealt with it in a very thoughtful and elegant way in fully adopting the commission's committee's recommendations of what we did. And so, you know, all I can share with you is that I see that the near-term challenges that we face, and maybe if you can reach that agreement with the chair where you have the 10-year terms, and in fact, you know, sitting next to you is Monica Lozano. She finished her term and was begged to come back, you know, because she could serve and had value, and people saw it, and they elected her chair. You know, do you want to limit those kinds of things? Now, you've dealt with that, too, also by going to the second two-year term, which also works. So from a constitutional perspective, it seems to me that how you've approached this. One, what's the architectural questions we're faced here? One was to transcend the governors. You've done that. Two, to allow when a governor wants to appoint somebody who's worthy of appointment. And this body, you know, it's the indictment is not on the governor or on the board, it's on us. Do we, as a constitutional body that approves these folks, run them through the gauntlet? Now, lots of times people don't get approved because they just get the word, you ain't coming. There's only been a few people that turned down because they're told in advance, this appointment ain't going to fly and no governor wants to be embarrassed. So I think that second test has been largely met. The third test, it seems to me, with respect to our obligation of this committee, is the ballot. What's the experience of the voter on the ballot? Well, currently we have nine measures that are qualified. We have 4 pending verification. We have 13 more that have qualified at the 25% under SB 1253. We have 220, by my best count, tax measures that are being proposed by cities and counties of the 58 counties throughout the state. The question, it seems to me, is that as you're faced with this ballot, do we have an obligation there? I don't know the answer to that question, but this is something that requires a vote of the people. So I think you've certainly, you know, by virtue of your work, met the first two tests, which are critical, the third in terms of putting this before the people, because just the bottom line, what I felt in the initiative reform measures that I've tried to work out over the years and the polling that I've done is that folks are frustrated when they see something on the ballot. They go, why couldn't those people in government fix this for us, right? When in fact they don't know that the Constitution requires their approval. So I just think that merits some level of attention, I think, as we proceed forward with this. But I do appreciate your effort, and I do think that we should keep, you know, as this thing goes forward, we should stay involved with you. We will, of course, as a colleague in this operation, but I just wanted to share those thoughts in terms of my thinking about how we proceed, and to thank you again for focusing on those issues.
Other comments from the committee?
Well, I appreciated very much what I heard of the comments of Regent Lozano as well. UC faces a lot of challenges right now, many of them, quite frankly, because the state has stopped giving sufficient funding to meet our present obligations as a university, in my view, or to expand the university system so that it could accommodate the entire top 12.5% of students. Our population has increased, and we have built almost no new campuses, only the little baby.
Hey, wait a second. That was a big deal for people in Merced.
No, but it's still not very large, and it's not meeting the need, right? And for me, I mean, I really agree with what a former dean of Bolt Law School said, which is we're no longer a publicly funded university. We're a publicly encouraged university. And therefore, it takes a lot for me to say if we're not going to fund the university adequately, we should still tell it what to do. And having said that, there have been a number of real challenges. The things that I hear in my district have to do with executive pay and perks. And I think some of the recent challenges at UC Davis and other places indicate that we do, something needs to happen there. But I think that President Napolitano has been very forthright in dealing with them. Having said that, I think with the proposed amendments to SCA 1 make it very, very presentable, if you will. Two 10-year terms is 20 years, two decades. It's enough to get to know the system. I was originally concerned that the 6-year terms just weren't long enough to get to know a very, very layered and sophisticated, complex system. But 20 years is. So I'm very interested in what the response of the regents and the university would be. I think that it does really start a conversation about who owes what to whom in this public dialogue. So I would be prepared to support the bill today, moving along to keep that conversation going, knowing that there are many caveats along the line.
Chair Lozano.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I was clear in terms of where we stand today. I agree that the new version before us is very responsive, and in fact, the 4-year terms with a reconfirmation every 4 years did, in fact, we think, politicize the body. Yeah. It didn't ensure the independence, et cetera. And you have a tool currently, which is through the governor's appointment and the confirmation of the Senate. So I agree, this is responsive. It goes out longer. It's 10 years. It allows for reappointment for those who are exceptional regents that you and the governor believe should continue to serve. We actually lifted our oppose on the original bill and moved to a position of concern when the author went to the 12 years. The reason that we can't issue a position today is because we are just now seeing the language. So our intent, my intent, and certainly the way in which I lead as chair of this body is to not to make a pronouncement based on what I believe is correct, but to go back to the board and to deliberate with my fellow regents. So that's the reason why we're not able to issue any opinion today. But certainly as this moves forward, we will weigh in, absolutely.
Okay, and with the authors okay, we want to reserve the right to bring the bill back if,
We'll continue the discussion.
Okay, all right, I appreciate that. I share, the concerns that were raised by Senators Hertzberg and Hancock. We all know that the UC has been getting some bad press recently, and no one's brought up the audit report yet, which I've sat in on two.
Kind of,
oh, you do? Okay. I sat in on two really rather extraordinary hearings, both at the Joint Legislative Audit Committee and also at the Budget Sub 1, where we just heard very different visions of what the data show from both the University of California and the auditor. And, I think that there's just, we all know that there are kind of continual concerns that exist out there about making sure that the university really does remain this extraordinarily important engine for both our growth and also for access and social mobility and social justice and research. I mean, it's played such an important role in making the state the golden state that we are. And I think we're all very sensitive to protecting that relationship and that institution in the course of this discussion as this moves forward. So did you want to make any comments, Senator Liu?
Just belatedly, I want to thank Senator Laura for his intrepidness in this particular issue. But I'm very mindful of, as everybody has stated, about the importance of the university to our state, and that anything that we do, especially in a constitutional amendment which goes to the voters, I mean, it is probably not well served, and particularly this year is a presidential year. And but I have committed to Senator Laura that as he has promised to work on this and continue the conversation, I think it's much needed. And as I've talked to the chair, Lizana, in my office, that we need to have a larger conversation with the university as a partner in our state. And I know that all of us would appreciate more of that conversation, so that we don't have misunderstandings about where we're all intended to go, because we all want to serve the people of the state. So with that, you know, I'm happy to move the SCA.
Okay, there's a motion. Senator, would you like to close?
Thank you. I do appreciate the dialogue and appreciate the work of the chair and the members for allowing me to continue this discussion. And all the comments regarding to the importance of the UC and its appropriateness in terms of our economic engine, I agree with 100%. I'm not here to disagree with any of that. And to also say publicly that I acknowledge that we haven't done our fair share to fully fund the university at the levels that we should. But when you look at the issues of the increase of pay for the chancellors, when you look at Chancellor Katehi, when you look at Regent de la Peña, those are issues that don't deal with the amount of money that we are sent, that we give and provide to the UC. And, you know, I also had the privilege of serving on the Senate Rules Committee, where I had an opportunity to actually have a discussion with some of the regents that were up for reelection and for reappointment. And I can tell you that some of them, the complete disregard for the process was really offensive, to the point where in their public meeting, the following meeting, said it was a complete waste of time. And so trying to break that, you know, good old boys feeling, that sense of superiority that they have, is something that's important and that we need to address. That doesn't deal with the amount of money that we're providing the UC. And again, understanding that that is an important aspect that we need to continue to ensure. Because at the end of the day, the ones that benefit from that are our students. And it's up to us to ensure that the money that we're sending isn't just a blank check, that it actually goes to benefit our students and our faculty. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, do the regents share the priorities of the state? You know, I've been here for 15 years, and I can tell you that wasn't always the case. I know our chair, great chairwoman Lozano, is working to ensure that we continue to align our priorities, and, you know, and that we have that responsibility to fund those priorities. I understand that again. You know, the in terms of the board being one of the most diverse in the country, that really says about the fact that the lack of people of color and women in other educational institutions in Board of Regents. And so I think we can do better when it comes to diversity. In terms of the upward mobility and being an upward mobility machine, for who? For out-of-state and international students? And I know this is, again, an issue that Regent Lozano is working on, and I'm committed to working with her as well. And so, you know, we are having these continued dialogues. We're having these continued negotiations. And I would appreciate the opportunity for me to allow to move this forward as we continue to have these discussions. Again, issues that understanding that we need to do a better job of fully funding the university, and that times have changed since 1876, and that why not? It is our obligation to, if we feel that we need to bring this back to the voters, to do so. We know times have changed. Right. So, you know, members, I appreciate your opportunity for this hearing. I'm going to continue to have dialogues with Monica Lozano. We're independent of this, we're actually really good friends, believe it or not. Enjoy the time that we're going to have to be able to continue to have a dialogue on this issue. So I respectfully ask for that vote.
Thank you. Secretary, please call the roll. This is SCA 1 as adopted as amended and referred to the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Hancock?
Aye.
Hancock, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Liu? Liu, aye.
Okay, that passes out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairmember.
Thank you. All right, so this meeting is adjourned.